ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयम् उदीरये. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 16. Krishna chastises the serpent, Kaliya. And do you read the summary?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. The summary is as follows. This chapter describes Lord Sri Krishna's pastime of subduing the serpent, Kaliya, within the lake adjoining the river Jamuna, and is showing mercy to Kaliya in response to the prayers offered by Kaliya's wives, the Nagapatnis, to restore the purity of the Jamuna's waters, which had been contaminated by Kaliya's poison. Lord Krishna climbed into a kadamba tree on the riverbank and jumped into the water. Then he began fearlessly playing within the water like a maddened elephant. Kaliya could not tolerate Krishna's trespassing upon his personal residence, and the serpent quickly went up to the Lord and bit him on the chest. When Krishna's friends saw this, they fell down on the ground unconscious. At that time, all sorts of evil omens appeared in Vraj, such as earth tremors, falling stars, and the trembling of various creatures' left limbs. The residents of Vrindavan thought, "Today Krishna went to the forest without Balaram, so we do not know what great misfortune may have befallen him." Thinking in this way, they traced the path of Krishna's footprints to the bank of the Jamuna. Within the water of the lake adjoining the river, they saw Lord Krishna, the very essence of their lives, enwrapped in the coils of a black snake. The residents thought the three worlds had become empty, and they all prepared to enter the water. But Lord Balaram checked them, knowing well the power of Krishna. Then Lord Krishna, seeing how disturbed his friends and relatives had become, expanded his body greatly and forced the serpent to loosen his grip and release him. Next, the Lord began playfully dancing about on the serpent's hoods. By this wonderful, boisterous dancing, Sri Krishna trampled the serpent's 1,000 hoods until his body slackened. Vomiting blood from his mouth, Kaliya finally understood that Krishna was the primeval personality, Lord Narayan, the spiritual master of all moving and non-moving creatures, and he took shelter of him. Seeing how very weary Kaliya had become, his wives, the Nagapatnis, bowed down at Lord Krishna's lotus feet. Then they offered him various prayers in hopes of gaining their husband's freedom. Quote, "It is quite fitting that you have brought our cruel husband to this condition. Indeed, by your anger, he has gained great benefit. Indeed, by your anger, he has gained great benefit. What piety Kaliya must have amassed in his previous lives. Today he has borne upon his head the dust of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, the attainment of which is difficult for even the mother of the universe, Goddess Lakshmi. Please kindly forgive the offense Kaliya has committed out of ignorance and allow him to live." Satisfied by the Nagapatnis' prayers, Krishna released Kaliya, who slowly regained his sensory and vital powers. Then Kaliya, in a distressed voice, acknowledged the offense he had committed. And finally, he offered Krishna many prayers and said he was ready to accept his command. Krishna told him to leave the Jamuna Lake and his family and returned to Ramanaka Islands. Text 1. I'll read all the way through until 5. Shishuku vacha vilokya dushitam krishnam krishna krishna hina vibhu tasya vishudhim anvichchan sarpam tam udavasayat. Shukdev Goswami said, Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, seeing that the Jamuna River had become contaminated by the black snake Kaliya, desired to purify the river, and thus the Lord banished him from it. Shri Rajovacha, Katam Antarjale Gaadhe, Nya Grit Nad Bhagavan Ahim, Savai Bahu Yugavasam, Yatasid Vipra Katyatam. King Parikshit inquired, O learned sage, please explain how the Supreme Personality of God had chastised the serpent Kaliya with the unfathomable waters within the unfathomable waters of the Jamuna, and how it was that Kaliya had been living there for so many ages. 3. Brahman Bhagavatastasya Bhumna Swachchanda Vartinaha Gopalo Dara Charitam Kastripyet Tamritam Jushan. O Brahmana, the unlimited Supreme Personality of Godhead freely acts according to his own desires. Who could be satiated when hearing the nectar of the magnanimous pastimes he performed as a cowherd boy in Vrindavan? Shishuku Vacha Kalin Kalindyam Kaliyas Yasid Hrata Kashchid Vishagnina Shrapyamana Paya Yasmin Patantyu Pariga Kaga. Shri Shukadev Goswami said, within the river Kalindi, Jamuna, was a lake inhabited by the serpent Kaliya, whose fiery poison constantly heated and boiled its waters. Indeed, the vapors thus created were so poisonous that birds flying over the contaminated lake would fall down into it. Purport. In this regard, the Acharyas explain that the Kaliya Lake was situated apart from the main current of the river. Otherwise, the Jamuna's waters would have been poisonous even in the cities like Mathura and in other places further away. 5. Viprushmata Vishodhormi Viprushmata Vishadhormi. Yeah, sorry. Marutina Bimarshita Marutina Bimarshita Briyante Tiraga Yasya Briyante Tiraga Yasya Pranina Stira Jangama Pranina Sthira Jangama Viprushmata Vishadhormi Marutina Bimarshita Briyante Tiragayasya Pranina Sthira Jangama Viprushmata Vishadhormi Marutina Bimarshita Briyante Tiragayasya Pranina Sthira Jangama Mata, containing droplets of the water. Vishada, poisonous. Urmi, having touched the waves. Having touched the waves. Marutena, by the wind. Abhi Marshita, contacted. Mriyante, would die. Tiraga, present upon the shore. Yasya, of which. Pranina, all living entities.
Sthira
Jangama, both non-moving and moving. Translation. The wind blowing over that deadly lake carried droplets of water to the shore. Simply by coming in contact with that poisonous breeze, all vegetation and creatures on the shore died. All together, please. The wind blowing over that deadly lake carried droplets of water to the shore. Simply by coming in contact with that poisonous breeze, all vegetation and creatures on the shore died. Purport. The word sthira, unmoving creatures, refers to various types of vegetation, including trees, and jangama refers to moving creatures such as animals, reptiles, birds, and insects. Srila Sridhar Swami has quoted a further description of this lake from the Sri Hari Vamsa, Vishnu Parva 11.42, 44, and 46. Dhir gam yojana vistaram dustaram tridasharapi gambhiram akshobhya jalam nishkampam eva sagaram duko pasarpam tireshu sasarper vipular bilai visharani bhavasyagnir Dumena pariveshtitam Trineshyapi patasvapsu Jvalatam eva tejasa Samantad yojanam sargam Tireshyapi durasadam. The lake was quite wide, 8 miles across at some points, and even the demigods could not cross over it. The water in the lake was very deep and, like the immovable depths of the ocean, could not be agitated. Approaching the lake was difficult, for its shores were covered with holes in which serpents lived. All around the lake was a fog generated by the fire of the serpent's poison, and this powerful fire would at once burn up every blade of grass that happened to fall into the water. For a distance of 8 miles from the lake, the atmosphere was most unpleasant. Srila Sanatana Goswami states that by the mystical science of Jalastamba, making solid items out of water, Kaliya had built his own city within the lake. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunilatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadahmayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Uta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Bitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shivishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kolpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Garadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinoda
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
God Premanande Haribo. Here opens the chapter with yet another story of Krishna in Gokula and how a great demon, Kaliya, at least superficially a demon because he was intentionally poisoning the water, some acharyas say, influenced by Kamsa. However, we'll find a quite happy ending to the story, as is always the case when one comes in contact with Krishna, because Krishna is all good and he's our friend and he knows what's good for us more than we might know. Definitely more than we know. Definitely more than I know. In the story of Kardama Muni, we find that the sage, after meditating for thousands of years, had personally met the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had such compassion for him that a tear came from his eye and it formed a beautiful lake that people can go now and bathe in. Imagine a tear from the eye of the Lord out of his compassion for his devotees' sincere endeavors to serve him. And when Kardama Muni offered his prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he included a so-called material necessity. He needed to do his service, which was that he needed to have a wife. And the Lord replied, I know, because I know everything you're thinking and what all your desires are, and I've already arranged for it. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that it's better that when we have any kind of desire, we depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead to fulfill desire, because his plan is better than ours. And therefore, when one approaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead, even in what may seem like a disadvantageous position, and that is, one may be bearing material desires. Shukadeva Goswami early on in the Bhagavatam says, Akama sarva kama va moksha kama udharadhi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. It's okay, you can approach him anyway, even if you have material desires, or if you wish for liberation, or even if you're a pure devotee. Of course, who else would you approach and worship? Because Krishna is Vidunoti. One of his names, as mentioned by Srila Rupa Goswami in the beginning of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Vidunoti is his name as the one who very deliberately helps us to remove any last vestiges of material desires within our heart. In fact, the quintessential realization of devotional service, or the attitude by which we attract Krishna, was given by Lord Brahma in his prayers to Krishna in the Brahma Vimohana Lila, when he said, Tatenu kampam susimikshamano punjana evatma kritam vipakam ridvagbapur bir vidadam namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya bhak. And that is that anyone who comes to the full awareness that whatever is happening to one in one's life is the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to purify one so that one can be fully engaged in worshiping Krishna without any hesitation. And in the purport to the verse, we hear through the words of great souls who have translated and commentated upon it, the words of our acharyas. For instance, Sridhar Swami says that the only duty of the son of a rich man is to stay alive. It's all you have to do. And Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur continues by saying that Krishna knows the heart of every devotee, and therefore what may seem like karma, that is some kind of reactions that devotee is getting in this world, isn't actually karma, but it's Krishna's customized way of inducing the devotee to give up the last vestiges of attachment to the material world, because he knows exactly in which way each living entity may be attached to the material world, even though on the path of pure devotional service, it's a little sticky here in the material world. Don't you agree? Nobody comes to Krishna consciousness without some complexity. My thought on that has been that unless it was so sticky that it seems impossible to get out, it may induce me to dabble in the material world even as I'm practicing devotional service. Sometimes a devotee might think, this reaction seems inordinate. Well, I didn't deserve that. In fact, that's the common theme of every soul in the material world. Why did this happen to me? Instead of the mantra that Lord Brahma is offering, who's saying, what is the lesson? What am I supposed to learn from this, and how will this purify me? Vidunoti, Krishna who resides in the heart, knows what's good for me, and he also knows exactly how to organize my life so that I will come to a point of full surrender. Well, how does that relate to today's verse? It's about one who's actually a good soul, Kaliya, but who got mixed up with some bad people, and somehow or other, he became highly poisonous. And this is kind of the theme of the material world. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunte prakriti jan gunan karanam guna sangosya sarasad yoni janmasu. A living entity gets faked out by the material world, tries to drink what he thinks is nectar, but gets the wrong glass and ingest poison through cohorting with the modes of material nature. So one has to have an antidote to the poison. And that requires taking some nectar that counteracts the poison. So the Bhagavatam is that nectar that can release us from our fascination with drinking poison, which is a common theme throughout the Shastra, a lamentation that there's nectar to be drunk, but I drank poison instead. Outside of Vrindavan, in Mathura, Krishna gives mercy to demons. For instance, Sanatan Goswami mentions that Kamsa got a lot of mercy from Krishna. After all, when he was killing him, he also revealed his lotus face. And Kamsa felt the lotus feet of Krishna on his chest. I mean, how would you like to die like that, seeing Krishna's face and feeling his lotus feet on your chest? What's more, Krishna also performed the funeral ceremony for Kamsa. He also consoled his wives. And he also helped him out by appointing somebody else as king. He put King Ugrasena, a family member. All in all, Sanat Goswami says, he did pretty well, Kamsa. Krishna's so kind. What to speak of Chanura and Mushtika? Just as the coward boys wrestle with Krishna in Vrindavan and they feel the touch of his super soft transcendental body. So Chanur and Mustika, who are really kind of innocent bystanders, they just have to be employed by the king. And he asked them, go kill these two kids. And then they wrestled. And they also got to embrace Krishna. Who gets that? When we come to Vrindavan, our acharyas are amazed by the ways that Krishna has given mercy to demons. Putana, for instance, is famous, so famous that Brahma mentions her in his prayers in chapter 14, where I just quoted from earlier, Tatenu Kampam. In that chapter, he says to Krishna, does Brahma, do you have any mercy left? Because you seem to have given it all to Putana. She was a demoness who came to kill you. And aho bakiyam stanakala kutam jigamsiya. You granted her the position of a mother. Kambadayalum sharanam brabaje prapadye. Who else would we surrender to besides Krishna, they say, or Brahma says, Uddhava, who gave mercy to a person who came to kill him with poison. She'd smeared poison on her breast. She disguised herself, but there was a little motherly affection. And Krishna said, I'll take it. He, after killing her, played on her breasts. That was her body was his playground. And indeed, she received the benediction as an eternal mother of Krishna in the spiritual world. That's why Brahma says, do you have any left, any mercy left after giving it all to Putana? Anything left for the rest of us, for the residents of Vrindavan even? How could there be anything left after that? So Kaliya was in Vrindavan, the place where Krishna personally kills the demons and gives benedictions. Agasura was in Vrindavan. Agasura got what Shukadeva Goswami calls vimukti, very special mercy from Krishna, so much so that it left the demigods wondering, how did he get so much mercy? Krishna walked in his mouth. The yogis are meditating, trying to see Krishna's lotus feet in their meditation. Munipungavanam. It's very difficult to reach by drilling the respiration, but somehow or other, Agasura got mercy. And Krishna walked in his mouth. And then we come to Kaliya. Kaliya is famous because he had 1,000 hoods, and Krishna danced on every one of them with his lotus feet. So the sages say, the acharyas say, he got more dust than anybody. Krishna danced for a long time on his hoods. And in fact, as we heard now, the wives of Kaliya, after Kaliya had come to his senses, had then remarked that this is amazing how you bestowed your benediction upon this very angry person. At first, when the Nagapatnis came and saw that their husband was being trounced, does everyone know what trounced means? Kinshana Krishna Prabhu does. T-R-O-U-N-C-E-S? C-E-D? To trounce? Research department, please look it up. He smashed each one of his heads with his lotus feet. And when the Nagapatnis saw this, they thought that he deserves it. He's been really bad. They were not happy that he would be killed, but they thought he deserves it. And then they noticed a change in his countenance as he got weary of being trounced, which means we need the microphone for the research department. No, go ahead. Our researchers can read it out.
Trounce is if it heavily in a contest.
What is it?
Defeat heavily in a contest.
Defeat heavily in a contest. And where does it come from? To trounce.
It comes from French trounce.
Yeah. Thank you, French people, for offering us this word. So after this class, if anybody asks you what it was about, you may not remember anything, but you just say, Kalia got trounced. They'll say, what does it mean? It comes from French. It means to be soundly defeated. And they'll think, wow, this person was really listening. I find it interesting that the Nagapatnis were such great devotees with this husband, Kalia, and they were able to notice his countenance when, after being defeated soundly by Krishna, he started to change his demeanor and think, maybe I should surrender. You can see it in somebody's face when they decide that. And then they started pleading for him, pleading for his case. But please, he's not that bad. And Krishna was very kind to him. He not only gave him his association through dancing on his heads, he purified him, he gave him another place to go on Ramanaka Island, he arranged that Garuda wouldn't be able to attack him anymore. His life was happy after that. It was very good. So Krishna is our friend, and the antidote to the propensity for drinking poison, which even Narottam Das Thakur mentions, he says, Gyanakanda, Karmakanda, Gyanakanda, Kevala, Visharabandha. Like, the ideas about enjoying the material world or about becoming the smartest person in the world, these are all like poison pots. And there's a lament that even though I know it's poison, somehow or other I have a taste for it. So that's not very good. So what to do about that? This story tells us we have to have Krishna's association. And the Srimad Bhagavatam says, of course, starting with Srinvatam Swakata Krishna, Punya Shravana Kirtana, Hridyan Takstohya Bhadrani, Vidhunoti Suritsatam. If you avail yourself to hearing about Krishna and his pastimes, especially from the Srimad Bhagavatam, then Krishna within the heart helps to take away the last vestiges of desire for enjoyment in the material world. He's the Vidhunoti, which, by the way, is also a machine that has these cords that are pulled taut. That's how do you spell taut? T-A-U-G-H-T? No. T-A-U-T? Look it up. Okay, we have a contention. Research department will look it up. They're cords pulled tight. Huh? T-A-U-T. Taut. Is it from French also? Let's see where it's from.
Old English.
Old English from?
Proto-Germanic.
From Proto-Germanic. Okay, so then you got these tight cords. You put cotton on top that's full of impurities, and then the cords vibrate. The impurities fall through the cords, and then what's left is nice fluffy cotton on top that you can use. And similarly, Krishna acts in this way. When we make the vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he helps to sort out, winnow out, the impurities from our hearts, leaving us with not just a pure heart, but also a heart that is connected to Krishna, entering into evidence another verse that relates to this concept. And we're talking right now about the ways to counteract the irrational attachment to material desires. And so Krishna says, this is from Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, Pravishta Karna Randrena, Swanam Bhamam Saroruham, Dunoti Salilam Krishna, Salilasya Yatasharat, is a poetical verse that says, just like in the autumn season when the rains come, it clears up the water. There's something about autumnal rains that make the water clear, not muddier, and that the waters in all the waterways become cleared by the autumnal rains. And so the sound of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the stories, for instance, the story of Krishna killing Kaliya, acts like this within the heart of the listener to, first of all, purify the heart. Dhunoti salilam Krishna means, like vidhunoti, this word dhunoti salilam Krishna, he purifies the heart from all kinds of maladies. And then it also says, swanam bhava saroruham. It establishes our relationship with Krishna. We have a personal relationship with Krishna. Sanityo nitya sambandha prakritischa paraivasa, Srimad Bhagavatam says. And that gets reestablished by connection to Krishna through hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam. So in the Bhagavatam, Krishna says, jata shrada makatasu nirvina sarvakarmasu veda dukat makankamams prityagye panishvara, that there's a state, an interim state, during which we're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, but we still have material desires. We've decided that the material world is not our home. We want to purify ourselves, but still, prityagye panishvara means I don't have the power yet to control my senses completely. And so Krishna says, don't worry. Tado padeta mang prita shrodha lordrudhanushchaya chushamanam shtatam kamams duko darkam stagarayan. You should have some regret that you can't taste the nectar or you're not attracted to the nectar. Well, you all are. I'm talking about myself. But that one is not attracted to nectar. But he says, be happy and go on hearing and taking the medicine because it will have its effect and it will purify the heart. So a few key points before I take some reflections and questions to hopefully expand the conversation and make it dynamic. And that is that Krishna is kind to everyone. He's perfect, in fact. Even to the karmis, or the vikarmis, Krishna's good. Because when one gets a reaction for a sinful activity, this is purification. And eventually it leads to one, bahunam jamanamante gyanavamam prapadyate vasudeva sarvamiti sa mahatma sudurlaba, coming to one's senses and surrendering to Krishna. Outside of Vrindavan, Krishna shows extraordinary mercy to the demons. But inside Vrindavan, it's amazing to everyone the way Krishna deals with the demons and purifies them, so much so that they're saying, wait a minute, are they getting more than everybody else? And the next point is that we can avail ourselves to the same opportunities for purification by submissively hearing from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Those are some basic contentions. And now let's have a lively round of very relevant questions and points that will help to augment these very basic points that I made so far. Ready? Reflect and ask, please. And it, hopefully... Yes, Prabhu? Not yet.
So one of the verses mentions Kaliya stayed for a long period of time.
He stayed for a long period of time?
So being a demon, how did he stay so long?
Being a demon, how did he stay so long in Vrindavan? How did Kaliya stay so long in Vrindavan? Well, he seemed to have some alliance with Kamsa, and people who make some arrangement in the material world seem to get a little play. It's not that demons couldn't come into Vrindavan. The length of time is not really discussed anywhere so much, but of course each one of the pastimes of Krishna is a perfect setting. And this setting for Kaliya had to do with Kaliya getting established, contaminating a certain portion of the Jamuna to the degree that we heard in the verses that even the plants and birds, everyone was being affected by it. And this gave a perfect palette for Krishna to enact his pastime there. Part of it, of course, as we'll hear going forward, was for Krishna to bring out the very intense feelings of the residents of Vrindavan for him, because, as was mentioned, Kali, in the summary, Kali bit him on the chest and then was holding him in the coils. When you see your little boy or your best friend or the hometown hero being held by some hideous monster at Krishna's beautiful lotus face, and it brought out the emotions of all the residents of Vrindavan. They wanted to go into the water. Balaram held them back. And there was a lot of drama around there. So I don't know about length of time, but just as far as setting the scene, Krishna has a really good crew. His Yogamaya potencies set things up for each drama, so it brings out the most in all the devotees. Thank you, Prabhu. Okay, now we've got Prabhu straight back. Yes.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Since you are discussing about the demons, so this Keshi who came on the Keshi cat and he was killed by Krishna, we hear from Srimad Bhagavatam that his size was so enormous that his ears were touching the sky and the clouds were. So how to really understand it that Krishna, small boy, puts his hand inside the mouth? And the Keshi has such a dimension. So is it something to do with your time, place, and circumstance? That we often speak, that externally it appears that Krishna is a small boy, but he is really, really big size, and you could feel the Keshi. How do you understand this?
Yeah, Krishna's got multi potencies, and he can use them at any time. For instance, walking from one part of Vrindavan to another within a few minutes, Prabhupada explained that, and it's also in the Sri Brahma Samhita, Shwetadweep, Vrindavan is like a lotus, the petals can close, you can walk from here to there. And if you could do anything, just by thinking about it, you could arrange anything, then nothing is inconceivable for Krishna. Once, after the Krishna book came out, Prabhupada asked a person who was reading it, what do you think? And he said, I think these stories are fantastical. And Prabhupada said, I think you are fantastical, because how could you not understand that God could do anything and arrange anything and be any size at any time? That's the basic gist of it. 1, 2.
Thank you for the nice class. You mentioned that how Krishna is the best friend and how he does whatever he does for the best of the living entities, and you quoted the verse of the day. So when things go right, it's easier to appreciate that fact, but when things go in a very negative or something is not desirable, how does one develop the attitude that is actually from my
point? One of the ways is to change which question you ask yourself. Questions are powerful because they evoke an answer, and we can ask ourselves questions. For instance, if we have some reversal in our lives, what appears to be a reversal, everybody here knows that if you track it long enough, you'll find out, oh, wait a minute, that might not have been a reversal. Actually, that was a doorway to success. I mean, we know that, right? But in any case, it's the tendency of the mind of one who has the ego of I'm the center and also everything should go my way. Did anybody ever feel like that? Things should go my way? And when they don't, then there's this sense that I'm being violated just because I think things are out of control. Doesn't mean the universe is. Om Purnamada Purnamidam. And what I've found is taking up the Brahma's lead, where he says Tatenu Kampam Sushimikshamanu, that learn to do this. Because he says Sadaya Bhak, if you learn this technique of finding out the lesson rather than saying why me, so there's two questions. You can say, why does it happen to me? Why not somebody else? I'm better than everybody else. Nothing bad should happen to me. Instead, try asking a different question, which is, what's the lesson? Everyone say it. Say it two more times. Yeah, you try that next time you stub your toe, and you're like, what's the lesson? And or whatever happens, it's counterintuitive because my default mode is to say, why me? Why should I suffer? I don't deserve this. Instead of saying, why is the lesson? What's the lesson? So we have to practice. And it's uncanny how by just following Brahma's lead in that verse and looking for the lesson, practicing changing our attitude. Attitudes are changeable, and Prabhupada says in the preface to the Nectar of Instruction that it's the attitude of the follower that determines his or her advancement in devotional service. So why not upgrade one's attitude? Is that possible, Prabhu?
That's why we're here.
That's why we're here, he said. What is your name again?
Bhakti Abhiram.
Bhakti Abhiram said that's why we're here, to upgrade our attitude. So this can be done. Right? Say yes. Everybody say yes.
Yes.
So that's the start of upgrading your attitude. Say, can you change your attitude right now? And you say?
Yes.
No, that's not how you say yes. It's much louder. Can it be done?
Yes.
That's like a 5 on a scale of 1 to 20. Can it be done?
Yes.
Yeah, and if anybody ever says, we have free bhakti here, you raise your hand faster than everybody else. That's how you get into bhakti in the first place. It's not what you know, it's who you know, and how you take advantage of opportunities. So we have a great opportunity, and all you have to do to take advantage of it is change your attitude and say, okay, I'm open for the lesson, Krishna, what is it? And it'll happen. If you see people who have this attitude, I met somebody recently who found out that she has terminal cancer, and she doesn't have long to live, and her attitude was so impeccable that it made me feel deficient in my devotional service. I wanted to emulate her mood. That's, yes, this is Krishna's arrangement. What's the lesson here? How can I take advantage of my last couple of months or whatever it may be? So that is the platform on which we make advancement in devotional service. Tatenu kampam susumikshamanu bhunjane. So if you do that before Krishna has to come and smash your hoods and make sure all the poison comes out, you get to do it voluntarily. You can do it the easy way, or you could do it the hard way.
I'd rather have Krishna do it.
You want to have Krishna do it? Yeah, I think you already did. Otherwise, you wouldn't be one of the world leaders of the Krishna consciousness movement, setting an example for all of us. Okay, we had one more. Hare Krishna. The comment, please, yes.
When Krishna danced on Arya's foot, he did not jump, he just hovered his neck and go down. And then he danced on Arya's foot. Why? Because he's so many envious people, overweight people. They come to temple, take darshan, learn. Because of their pride, they do not go down. They do not offer offerings to the Lord. They have mercy for getting the blessing from directly to the Lord. And Krishna, he pulled on his hat and he danced on his foot. So Krishna wanted to show this lesson to us. Now you are not going down to me. At the end of death, you should 100% go down and go by this.
That's such an important point you made. I think you saved the day here for this class by bringing that up. It's so important, the simplicity of bhakti, to be able to bow one's head down before Krishna willfully. Namaskaru. And I've made this point many times, perhaps in this class also, but I notice at Govardhan when people are going around offering obeisances again and again around Govardhan Hill, they're never unhappy. I challenge you to go around Govardhan, find anybody who's doing Dandavat Parikram, and see if they're in a bad mood. Even all the kids, they didn't get to go to Disneyland, they didn't want to go, they came to Govardhan and they had to do Dandavat Parikrama for a few weeks. And they look blissfully engaged. And this mood of putting one's head down before Krishna is such a simple act, and it's a great relief. I see children who get trained, like in our community, there's a lot of children, and when they're just at a very early age, the parents are showing them, you know, bow down. Jai Jai. I think that's how they, right? Say Jai Jai. And then after a while, they get in that, whatever they see Prabhupada, bow down. They see the deities, bow down. They see devotees, bow down. It's like, very good. This is the program. You know, and so Krishna's offering this to everybody in a simple way and showing, as you said, Prabhu, the example of how gentle he is to teach us, Jai Jai, bow down. And when we do that, then we naturally align with our constitutional position that I'm a servant of Krishna. Whatever comes to me is Krishna's mercy. And if we can stay in that position, remember Kaliya, how he bowed down by Krishna's mercy and was forced to do so and then came to this very auspicious end, then we'll know the simplicity of bhakti and be able to continue. Do you want to ask your quota? You don't want to lose your streak. It's only for the streak. We believe in streaks. Or you can just make a comment. Yeah. But it should be slightly critical. If you can.
Prabhu mentioned how Kaliya spent so much time, or was allowed to spend so much time in Jamuna as he was the king. But actually, he was being primed to give the Lord's mercy in a special way. As you said, it's all in a lesser form that so many of the apparent demons, but they all, in touch with Krishna, are liberated and are super blessed in various ways beyond our belief.
I like the verb you use, primed. It's a helpful verb to remember when we think of our lives. And why are certain things happening to me that you can think I'm being primed for something better? This goes with the theme perfectly. And primed means prime, like priming a pump. For the devotion to flow out of me, there needs to be some place to start. And if we remember this, the words of wisdom given to us at the very end of class by Panchagoda Prabhu, that we're being primed for something better. Don't think this is the all in all, whatever's happening to me here, oh, woe is me, just think, I'm being primed. And if anybody asks you, you know, what happened to you? You look really messed up. You just say, I'm being primed for something much better. And that is the attitude through which Krishna notices us and says, yes, now you're qualified to have much higher lessons so you can come closer to me. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.